This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings, coming at you live, apparently, from what Glenn typed in the show notes, from Istanbul, Turkey. And you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 1st, episode 1138. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy Hump Day.
Happy Hump Day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. The downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday Hump Day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, happy April 1st to everybody. It is just getting closer to the summer for everybody else who is excited about it. And then as me, I hear April, I'm like, oh, crap, it's getting hotter and hotter. It was 95 degrees yesterday, Glenn.
Well, that's crazy. That is kind of crazy, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's supposed to be like 98 today, and then it's supposed to, it's going to cool off down to 90 for the rest of the week. So,
It's funny you have trained me, because we just before the show in our meeting, I was talking about, hey, Jamie, we want to come out and see you, but not till like September, October, till it gets below 100 again.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're going to have to wait till November. That's how long our summer is. But again, I didn't have snowstorms. So there's always a trade-off. You know, there's always some sort of trade-off. So that happens.
You know,
but that's okay.
What we say in Florida is up north, they have 3 months of good weather, right? Three really good months of good weather. We have 9 months of good weather. So, and then 3 months of hot weather. So, you know, we're both sitting in pretty good shape. I'll take the 9 months.
People hate us right now. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm sorry. It's the way it worked out. I'm here in the military. We got relocated here. It wasn't my choice, but I love it.
Well, you know, I got some crap from some of our Ocala listeners when I said, oh, you just come on down. There's lots of farms for sale. I got some crap from some of our Ocala listeners. They wrote me notes and said, would you stop encouraging people to come down here? So apparently Ocala sucks. It's too hot and you don't want to come. And we got big bugs. We have really big bugs. So there.
Yeah. There are
my duty to discourage people from coming.
Yeah.
And snakes. Well, we have big snakes and spiders the size of your hand. So.
Yeah, that's not going to help. Anybody would like to live there, they just can't probably. I'm sure that's it. Everybody wants to live in hot, sweltering, humid Florida. It gets to be about 100. A wet heat. It's a wet heat.
It's
Don't
a wet
do
heat,
it.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, well, we thank you guys for joining us. It is Hump Day. It's Wednesday. We're halfway there. I do want to let you know that I will be coming at you live on Friday from a phone, because I, as of this afternoon, Glenn, have descending upon me Chad's brother and my sister-in-law, and they're great people, and I love them madly, and they're three children from the ages of one, I think it's like one, five, and eight. And so they will be sleeping in my office. So I will not have my office to go to at 5:30 in the morning, because they're going to be sleeping. So we will have them. And then the moment that they leave on Friday, they're going to stay till about Friday around noon. And Friday at 1 o'clock, my in-laws get here.
Who
all
knows?
The way through Easter weekend. I know. I've got my back hurts. My feet hurt. I've been doing nothing but cleaning this house. Seriously? We need company to come so we deep clean our house. Who
that is true.
Deep cleans their house on a regular basis? Do you guys? I mean, seriously.
No, and that's the only time we do it is when company comes.
Oh, it's just one of those things. You just have to get in there and scrub. Anyway, we've got a great show coming up for you. I'm excited about it. Jennifer, why don't you tell us what's going on?
On today's Brought to you by our Listeners Wednesday edition, Amongst the bad puns and April Fool's headlines, our chat with Farrier Steve Krause gains some traction, and then it's across the pond for a visit with Horse and Country TV's velvet voice, Victoria Spicer. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
And I cannot do the Daily Winnie.
Because you lost the Daily Winnie, didn't you?
No, Jennifer was so kind because I'm sick and I can barely talk and I'm coughing and everything. And she was so kind to make me tea with honey in it. And
oh,
I just
no.
spilled it all over my desk. And
oh,
my mouth is now covered in tea. So I can't hit the button to actually make any of the sound go. So, Jamie, if you could do that for a moment.
Here, we'll do this.
There you go.
I appreciate that. I'm trying to clean up my tea spill as we talk. It didn't get on my keyboard this time. I usually trash keyboards that way. But
April Fool's.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this is not an April Fool's. So anyway, thank you, Jennifer, for the thought. The tea did help while it lasted. And now I have a very sticky desk. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to Scooter, my pony. I'm going to give Scooter my Daily Winnie. Go ahead and play the music.
Hold on, I gotta find it. There it is. Ready?
My little pony. I should have warned you. I should have warned you about that. But anyway, I'm giving Scooter because I hadn't driven him about 2 weeks. I took him out yesterday, and he was such a good boy. It's like he remembered everything I had taught him, and he hadn't forgotten it.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, I was
That's
impressed.
It's like training. It's like really, it's like it worked or something.
I know.
It's crazy.
I know. It's what we were talking about yesterday. And, oh, by the way, apparently there's a name. Remember we were talking about you train a horse and then you put him away, and then the next day he seems to have learned overnight what you trained him? And somebody gave me yesterday what that term was. So I
soak
can't remember
time.
Now.
I
soaking.
Said.
That's right. It was. I think that's what it was called, soaking.
I'm the one who said that
it's
on the show.
It's sort of like
you
what
never,
my mouth is doing right
you
now,
never,
soaking.
You never listen to me. You never listen to me, Jennifer. I don't know how you do it. Oh, it's like somebody else's idea all of a sudden that, oh, I found out what it was. No, I told you before you found out what it was, but you weren't listening to me. I don't know how you deal with it, Jennifer. Play the Daily Winnie music. My God.
Yeah, Jennifer, can you do that? My mouth is sticky.
Sticky mouth?
Oh, down. Yeah.
<In trouble. laughs> my Daily Winnie goes out to, well, let's just give it to me. Because yet again, I went viral. I had one of my lesson pony, one of my students bring her pony over. And in lieu of a lesson, we did the trailer loading and mounting block lesson from the Monty Roberts University. And I went viral again and because I sent it to Debbie just so she knows that the Monty Roberts University is working and I'm on it. I watch it every day. I learn lessons every day. And I taught this pony how to load in like 10 minutes. It was amazing. But the problem is that I hopped up on said pony. It's a little halflinger pony. I mean, he's stout as can be. And I guess Debbie shared it on Monty's page. And I have been getting ripped to shreds for hopping on this pony from the mounting block. I mean, people are like, how dare you climb on his kidneys like that and flop down. That rider is terrible. Oh, so basically you have 15 minutes.
Oh,
goes,
you meanie. You're a mean woman jumping on that pony like that.
I know. Your 15 minutes comes and goes really quickly. I feel like one of those celebrities that like got a DUI and now everybody hates them. You know, it's like, I didn't do anything. I just got jumped on the pony's back. And trust me, I am way more gentle than that child is with that pony. So I just wanted to let you guys know that, yes, I did go viral again. And, yes, I'm feeling the wrath of the rest of the entire world judging me for what I did.
What do we have
and
to do? Buy you one of those winches they used to use for the knights, and we can raise you up, and then we can gently lower you onto the pony's back? Is that what
seriously,
we need to do?
I really didn't jump on this pony's back. I mean, I'm so irritated, but I'm just trying not to read the comments because people are – there is one person that said, that is a nice young rider. And I was like, oh, they think I'm young. How sweet.
You didn't even hear the good rider part. You just heard the young part.
Yeah, exactly. I would have thought good rider back in the day, but now I'm like, oh, they think I'm young. How sweet. Nice. Thank you very much. I'm not sharing any more videos. I'm just going to keep my nose to the ground and everybody just leave me alone. I've taken enough. I can't take any more.
You are never very good at that stuff, about taking the criticism. You are never
I fight back. That's the problem.
Yeah,
and somebody said, how can that be training a horse to stand still when you've got all those ropes on it? I'm like, and so I did have to reply to that one. I'm like, it's learning. It's training. I've been sitting and finished. I'm like, give it 3 days. Oh, I got mad at that person.
You know what? If Debbie had thought it was incorrect in any which way, she would have never
posted
it on
stage. Right? I mean, come on. I've taken it. I'm not going viral anymore. I'm done. I don't want to go viral anymore. Leave me alone.
So I just discovered that in my tea spill, tea full of honey spill, which means everything is sticky now, my Mega Millions winner ticket was there and got soaked.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I had $1. I won $1 on this ticket, and now I'm not sure I'll be able to redeem it, my Mega Millions winner.
Gosh, can you imagine if that was like they hadn't drawn yet?
It wouldn't have been sitting there if it was a big winner. Yeah.
Well, no, but I mean, what if you didn't know what it was yet? They hadn't drawn the numbers yet, and you spill tea, and they're like, oh, it's these numbers. You're like, but I promise, I swear, it's the winner. Oh, that would suck. Anyway.
I'd be putting it in the microwave, waiting for it to dry. All right, let's get on with the show. Hey, I got a couple emails. I'm done cleaning my desk for a while, so I got a couple of emails and from people in the last day, actually, wanting to know, because it's getting to that time of year, wanting to know what grazing muzzles we use, because they heard us mention that Beaker and Scooter both use muzzles, and they both do.
Horrible.
I know, we're mean. And by the way, did you put them on today, Jennifer, or are they still naked? I didn't see what you did with the horses this morning. So we use Best Friends muzzles. That's the brand we use, Best Friends. It's the ones that we have found work the best. So if you're looking for them, you can find them anywhere, really. Any tack shop has them, or you can find them on their website. But Best Friends muzzles are the ones we use. You hook them to your halter. We usually get the ones that don't have the halter attached. You know, they're on all one. We just connect them to our own halters. So Best Friends muzzles, that's what we use. For all you people looking at the grass season, with your fat ponies.
I know. We have a pony here that has to wear one, too. I don't know if it's called Best Friends, but it's my boarder's pony. And I just, I'm sorry. I feel so horrible putting that muzzle on that pony. However, this pony eats 10 times the amount of grass as a regular horse. I don't know how ponies are able to inhale grass as quickly as they do, but, like, if you need to mow your front lawn, put this pony on it for 10 minutes. It's like, gone, done. So I do feel better that I feel like I'm saving grass for the other horses when I put the muzzle on. You know?
Well, that is true. And you know what they do? And they, you know, they don't know how to control themselves. So I try and I rationalize it as my pony is standing looking at me so pitifully, going, I cannot eat anything with this muzzle on. He goes into a fit. Yeah, he goes into a fit, and he will not try to eat through the muzzle for like 2 hours because he's just pissed. And he's just throwing a little temper tantrum, and he runs around, and then he picks on Beaker. But he can't bite Beaker this way either, so there is that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are pluses to it. He gets in less trouble this way. Yeah, Beaker's gone, oh, finally. The little thing stopped munching on my butt. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
All right, let's do this. We're gonna have a new segment that we're bringing to the show, and we're hoping that our listeners will participate in this. And I have a new bumper for it.
Daddy, I want another pony.
Hurry up, Daddy.
Now, just take it easy, Snooks.
And you want to buy me the pony?
Yes, I'll buy you the pony. I promise you I would.
Daddy, buy me a pony, or else...
When I grow up, I want a pony. I'm gonna ride her from dusk till dawn. I'm gonna brush her mane and feed her sugar cane and keep...
Well, that's right. We're calling this My New Pony, and that's the title of the segment. And we are going to be highlighting listeners who get new ponies or horses, and we want to hear all about them. You know, it's always fun to hear about a new horse that people get. It is always fun to hear about those. And we have on with us right now Robin Donkey.
I was going to say, they have to listen to us talk about our new ponies. So it's only fair that they get their 5 minutes and then talk about how excited they are. I mean, my God, how much have you all had to hear about Thor?
That's true. Or Scooter. So, yeah, I mean, we're excited to hear about our listeners' new ponies. And we have one on right now who got a new pony, and that's Robin Donahue.
Good morning, everybody.
Good
morning.
Hey, Robin. I think the only reason you're starting this is because you're sick of me sending you updates and pictures and private messages going, look what I'm doing now. Look what I'm doing now. And Jamie, too. I'm like, look what she's doing now. Here's another picture.
Here's a picture of my new horse eating. Here's a picture of me brushing my new horse. But I get it, Robin. I get it. And you seem as excited about your new pony as I was about Thor. And still, the romance is not over. So I get it. Like, I understand the excitement. And all of our listeners here, you guys, we all get a new horse. I mean, it's like the most exciting thing ever. I remember when we had our listener, Uta, come on and talk about her new pony. It's exciting. You're adding a member to the family.
Yes, definitely.
Well now, Robin's out of Texas, for those that don't know. And so tell us what you got. Tell us all about it.
I bought over this past weekend a 9-year-old Percheron mare. She's gray, almost all white, and she's been trained as a commercial carriage horse, which is good for me and to have with my business. And she also rides, which now she will now be the only horse I have that is rideable. So that's very exciting for me. I rode her yesterday, and it was the best feeling because it has been so long since I'd ridden my own horse.
Wow. So what is she? Tell us, what is she? How old?
She's a Percheron.
And how old is she?
She's 9.
I am shocked that you're being so slow about this when you've been so bubbly on every message you've sent me. Oh, my God, I got a 9-year-old Percheron. Oh, my God. So tell me about your horse like you're a 9-year-old girl.
Okay. She is a 9-year-old Percheron. She's 16 hands tall. She's gray, but she's mostly white. She has a long mane and a full uncropped tail, which is one of the things I wanted. She wears a size 5 shoe, and she's been trained for commercial carriages, and she's been doing carriage rides for the past 3 years at a place called the Kima Boardwalk. And the Kima Boardwalk in Texas, it's on the Gulf Coast. It has a Ferris wheel, it has a roller coaster, it has those crazy teacup throw-up rides, it has a double-decker merry-go-round, and she's been doing carriage rides there for the past 3 years. Apparently before she was there, she was a carriage horse for downtown Houston.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and she's rideable. I had both my daughters on her last night in the stall when I was cleaning and feeding on her double, and she was just walking around with them, halter and a lead rope, and they were actually able to get her to go and walk around and steer and everything. It's really nice to have a horse that is pretty bomb proof and can do anything with.
And you picked the best breed ever.
Well, so you've been telling me, so, yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. And so she's like,
if this doesn't pan out, Glenn, you are to blame.
Yes, that's right. I'm going to get in trouble if this one doesn't work.
And she's only 16 hands, so she does not eat a bale of hay a day.
Oh, that's good. That is good.
I got the best of both worlds.
Now, do you want to use her for your carriage business?
Yes, that's my plan.
And what do you do with your carriage business?
I only do special events, so birthdays, weddings, Valentine's, proposals, things like that.
Oh, and with a beautiful long mane white horse, it's almost like you've hooked up an Andalusian. It's, oh my God, it's so
almost.
Funny, I know.
For the size 5 feet.
Yeah. Exactly.
But when I rode her yesterday, I discovered that she has a very forward moving walk, which I'm not used to when I would drive my friend's Percherons. They were kind of plodded along.
Yeah,
but this mare, she knows how to move.
Yeah, you don't see that too often. Usually they're plonkers. You know, they just plunk along.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in the back of my head, I'm really hoping that I'll be able to pair her up with my other mare, who's 16 hands. Definitely, she's only about half as wide as this horse, and she's a different color, but there's a wedding venue place that's like 10 minutes from my house, but it's on a hill. And so I would need a pair in order to hold the carriage up or downhill
mm-hmm.
with people in it.
Right.
And so I'm really hoping that I'll be able to use her and my other mare together. And one of the weird things about this new mare, her name, they were calling her Dolly. Well, that's the name of my mare that I already had, Dolly. So
that's going to be a little
surprising. Dolly 1 and Dolly 2?
Huge
or
highlight
what are we
music,
doing?
Yeah. No kidding. So apparently they said her name was Diva Doll, and they called her Dolly, so I'm just going to call her Diva. And they said that really fits her because she's like, sometimes they said sometimes when people would say, let's take a picture, she would like look off to the right, put her ears up, and pose. So,
she's a diva. I love it.
She is a diva. But she's
That's
already,
cool.
like, talking to me, knickers to me when I come down to see her. And she's still in a stall getting used to being here and getting used to the other horses. They can access her from one side. But, yeah, she's current on coggins and vaccines and deworming and all of that.
Well, now- Robin, when you first sent me a week or two ago, you sent me a picture of a black Percheron, and then you all of a sudden were buying a white one. What happened to the black one?
Oh, the black one I was just showing you in case you wanted it.
I got it.
Jennifer,
because I think it was like 18 hands, and I knew you liked the big black ones.
Yeah, you know what? If you're going to go big, you might as well go big, right?
Right, right.
Oh. Jennifer said, I hate you, Robin, you're banned again. So, by the way, Jennifer is now banning you from the show.
Well, I'm surprised Jamie hasn't banned me for sending her Andalusian ads.
Yeah, no, I like those. My husband might hate you, but I'm good. You keep sending them.
Well, congratulations, Robin, on your new pony.
Thank you, thank you. She's a real sweetheart.
That's really cool.
She gives kisses, too.
Oh, was she close by, or did you have a long drive to go see her? Did you?
She was. Okay, so I had been thinking on and off about when the time was right, I was going to go ahead and get a white Percheron for my business. Because apparently brides really like to have white horses pulling their carriages on their wedding day.
Heck yeah.
And so a friend of mine who's in Arkansas, she's been doing the commercial carriage business, special events mainly for the past 20 years, and she's been kind of my mentor with getting everything started. I was telling her, okay, here's my list of things that I would look for in a Percheron when I'm ready to get one. And it was this huge list, and some things were like, I thought they were kind of silly, but I wanted them anyway. Like, I wanted a horse with an undocked tail, because I wanted them to be able to fend off flies if they needed to during the summer in Texas, because I just feel bad for the horses with really short tails, and they can't really
mm-hmm.
flick flies off.
You know,
we had
Percherons with docked tails, and it wasn't, I've always felt bad for them.
Yeah. So, but I sent her like this laundry list of things that I would want, and I'm like, okay, so is this list way too specific, and or am I ever going to be able to afford a horse that has all of these things? And she basically, we were messaging on Facebook, and she basically said, hold on, and then 2 minutes later, she sent me a link. She's like, I think this mare matches everything on your list, and she's in Texas.
Nice.
She's only 4 hours away, and when I went down to see her, I was like, okay, if we get her, you know, I had to bring the trailer anyway because it was only,
of course,
it was already 4 hours away, so it wasn't like drive down, drive back up, drive down again. So I had to bring the trailer, but I figured I'll look at her, and as long as she's everything they said she is, I'll get her. But if they don't, then I won't. And it was funny because one of the guys that was there when I was going over everything, he was like, I could tell you know what you're doing because you're, like, doing everything. You're driving her and picking her feet up and hosing her off and riding her and just everything. I'm like, well, the last mare I bought, my Dolly, she was supposed to be rideable, and I did not try to ride her, and turns out she bolted when I tried to get on her and acted like she's never had anybody on her. So,
wow.
I was like, yeah, I'm going to try everything out on this mare. And she was perfect. And they hadn't even driven her in like 3 months when I took her harness off the hook in their barn. It was so full of dust that I could shake it and the dust went poof.
Wow.
And it had chicken poop on it because the chickens apparently roost above where the harness is. So that was kind of nasty, but she drove fine.
Wow. So you knew what you were getting, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to definitely check her out as thoroughly as I could. And she checked out in every which way. And then, of course, on the way home, our four-hour drive on the way home, we had a flat on the trailer on the side of the highway. My husband's changing the tire, and after he was done, he was like, will you check on the new horse? And so I looked in on her, and I gave her some more food, and I opened the escape door and partially, and she's looking out at the traffic whizzing by, and I gave her more food. And when we got back in and on the road, my husband's like, I had you check on her because she never moved while I was changing the tire. I was worried something was wrong with her.
Wow, that's really good.
So
she's not dead.
I'm so used to your other horses just standing in there pawing in the trailer.
Wow. Well, that is really exciting, Robin. We are so excited for you. Congratulations. And if you could, we'll post send Jennifer a picture or two, and she'll post them on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, or post them on our page, and we'll repost them so everybody can see them. Congratulations.
Thank you. Now, I will not be making her own page like you did for Thor, because I could care less if my other friends don't want to see updates. They're just tough.
Really? I'm with you. That's cool. That's awesome. Well, we will talk to you again very soon, and we'll keep the updates coming, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Bye, Robin. I love it. I don't care if anybody wants to see them. They're going to see them anyway.
That's right.
I feel like overpost about Thor, so I just love him. So anyway, well, congratulations, Thor. That's great. I like the new segment. So if you guys get a new horse, or you just want to call in and brag about yours, we'll even do that. What the heck? Call us up 347-637-3238, or send us an email, and we'll get you on the air to talk about it, because we love hearing about it. Isn't it fun?
Yes, it is fun. And you know, we even drop us a message on Facebook. Whenever if you get a new horse, we would definitely love to hear about it. What is more exciting in the horse world than when you get a new horse? There's nothing more exciting than that. I mean, we're horse people. That's what we get excited about. We don't get as excited when you did. So I was going to say when you have children, you don't get as excited. But you were kind of excited about your child, so I can't say that. Although I've definitely seen more videos about Thor.
Yeah, I was excited to not be pregnant anymore. I think that counts, right?
That does count. Yeah, that definitely counts. Well, that's good. We hope to hear from more of our listeners and learn a little bit more about them and their ponies coming up. But right now, we have to hear about how to take care of our ponies. And one of those things includes deworming. And there is a company that all of the hosts here on the Horse Radio Network use for their deworming, and that's ByMeta. We all know the importance of deworming our horses, and Dr. Ellefson of ByMeta Equine is helping us make sure we are doing it right. Listen for his four-part series the first week of every month on this very show. I just wanted to remind everyone, if you are due for deworming, why not save a few bucks on the popular ByMeta line of wormers, including Equimax, Bimectin, Exodus, Exodus Multidose, and Equil. You can find coupons and special offers at buymediaequine.com, including a variety of rebate offers from cash to free ivermectin. You can also get up to $2 a dose back for Equimax. And while you're at ByMeta Equine, get your free horse health record keeper, and you can just download it there. Plus, learn a bunch about parasites and deworming at ByMeta, that's B-I-M-E-D-A, equine.com. We at the Horse Radio Network all use ByMeta dewormers because we want the best for our horses, and we know you want the best for yours, too. ByMeta, equine.com, and tell them the Horse Radio Network sent you.
And thank you so much for ByMeta for being the sponsor of today's show. And is our next guest ready, Jennifer? He is. Fantastic. Well, we talked to him just a little while ago. Steve Krause, he's the head of Farrier Services at the Department of Clinical Sciences at Cornell University. Basically, he's like the farrier that knows everything. And we welcome Steve. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
You must like an intro like that, the farrier who knows everything.
Yeah, right. That perked me up. Actually, I don't know everything. No, I know a few things about a lot of things. Let's put it that way.
I'm with you. I know a little bit about a lot of stuff. Well, Steve, you work at Cornell University in the College of Veterinary Medicine, so you're one of the farriers that actually can work with a vet. So that's nice to have. Now, we talked last week, and we were going to build a little bit more on the discussion and traction, and we just talked to a listener that's going to be driving her horse on roads in a carriage company. So this kind of actually fits with what we were just talking about. Now, talk to me a little bit about what my options are for traction.
Okay, so originally, as started talking about like use of like heel caulk on shoes, which was again, we've been shoeing horses a couple thousand years and didn't have any modern materials, so they decided to turn the end of the shoe down. The shoe, of course, had to be a longer shoe to turn that projection down to give the horse some traction, and that was done for cavalry purposes, for farming purposes, and so on. The only problem with that is it's the same metal as the shoe is made out of, which is fairly soft steel, and it doesn't have a long-term wearing ability. So, and in fact, there was a time when most of the shoes that you bought, like in back in the 1900s, had a long heel, not a finished heel, so that you can make these projections we call heel caulks. And so as time went on, the idea of putting something harder on there came about, and that came about actually as a product from the oil well drilling industry. And so the term borium is tungsten carbide particles that are welded onto parts of the shoe in various forms to provide not only traction but long-term wear. And so borium comes from boring holes into the ground. So that's a trade name. So it's actually capital B, and it's not barium. Barium is an element. Borium is tungsten carbide that's welded on with a steel matrix. So the rod comes with tungsten carbide particles, which is very, very hard stuff, and in this mild steel tube, so you weld it on with an oxyacetylene torch. And you have to actually, you know, make a molten area on the shoe, and then you weld some of this particles in place. And you can build up studs, you can wash an area. You do whatever, however creative you are, you can do it with the borium rod. So borium is a trademark name.
Interesting. So how common is borium and maybe where you are? And then what is its use?
So borium was quite common When I, you know, back in the, after World War II, 50s and 60s, when it really became popular to give traction and wear on shoes for people that are trail riding, alongside roads, crossing roads, and in certain parts of the country, in order to get business when I first started shoeing about 50 years ago, you had to be able to apply borium because a lot of people wanted it. They wanted borium equals safety on slippery ice, snow, roads,
okay,
and so on. And I can't emphasize enough, it's borium with an O, not barium.
Right.
And well, we use it in the small term, like just like Kleenex, we refer to Kleenex as,
right,
as something to blow your nose in, but it's a,
yeah,
trademark name. You can't call other tissue Kleenex from another manufacturer. The same thing with borium. So the Studi company makes oil well drill bits and parts, you know, hard facing for earth moving and so on, and they produce borium with a capital B, and now we refer to other products as borium with a small B. So then,
okay,
as time went on for driving on the roads, okay, the Amish especially noticed that the borium particles, even though they're very hard, would shed off. They wouldn't wear away, they would actually fracture away. And so somebody came up with the idea of using tungsten carbide particles with what's called a brazing matrix, which is tougher. It's softer, but it's tough. It holds the particle in place, and that's called Driltex. And Driltex commonly, you see it mostly on Amish horses and draft horses, but is becoming increasingly more popular for horses on pavement. And you can do the same thing with Driltex as you can with borium. And you can build up a stud or several studs. You can wash it across the area. And these are usually larger, chunky particles of tungsten carbide, which have tremendous gripping properties to keep a driving horse especially safe. And it outlasts borium really well.
Let me get this straight. So an Amish person cannot use a telephone, but they can have some sort of technical tungsten carbide borium thing on their horse's shoe. The horses win, for sure.
The technology to put it on is pretty simple. And quite often they have welding shops owned by non-Amish applying the stuff to the horseshoes in advance,
okay,
in some cases anyway.
That's amazing. That's interesting. So when I have my event horse and I put his studs in to go out to the cross-country course, I put the studs in and I basically keep an eye on him, and I put bell boots on him, and I've been very careful so he doesn't step on himself with his right leg, step on his left foot or whatever. Do you have to worry as much about it with these different technologies as you do with the studs and the borium?
If borium is put on appropriately or Driltex appropriately, it likely won't hurt the horse, because most of these horses are not galloping or jumping fences. They're on the roads at a much slower gait. Obviously, if you're fox,
okay,
hunting too, borium can be used, and borium was traditionally used as well as Driltex in the fox hunting fields until the screw studs came along. And what's nice about the screw studs is you can take them out, you can vary the size, you can, you know, plug the holes and not have them at all. You can, you know, if it's very sloppy, you put the big studs in. If it's very hard, you put small pointy studs in. So, again, that's more modern technology, actually, because you have to drill and tap the holes, and the screw studs are available now that, you know, fit in these holes. So, again, everything is according to what the horse needs. But traction,
right,
equals safety, especially if you're moving at speed.
So I have heard from people, and it does not mean that I subscribe to this at all, that barefoot horses have more traction than shod horses. Is that true?
I would say that's only partially true. It depends upon the terrain, depends upon the horse, seen many instances where barefoot horses do not have as much traction as a properly shod horse. I mean, think about it. If a horse is shod with the proper traction on slippery ground, moving at speed, going cross country, he's going to be a lot safer than a horse that has no traction. And yet, you know, personally, polo fields are relatively soft, and we have some friends that would come and play polo with us that are barefoot, and maybe it works okay where they're from, but when they come to our field and it had a little bit of rain, they can't turn fast enough, they slip and slide on their turns, they can't stop as fast, so they're not as competitive. So just because they can do it doesn't make them as competitive. And would you want to ride your horse cross-country or go fox hunting barefoot on a slippery, muddy day? I doubt it.
Hell no. That's what I'm going to say when some person who says, well, it's not natural to put shoes on a horse, I'm going to say, listen, my friend Steve from Cornell University told me that you're not going to be as competitive with barefoot. Can I use your name? Can I throw that out there?
Certainly. And, you know, if you look at the way, if you go to Europe, you see streets that have, all the hills have cobblestones. And here in Ithaca, all the hills, we're a very hilly town, all the hills are paved with bricks, red bricks. And that was because the horses that were delivering ice and vegetables and dairy products were going up and down these hills. And all the shoes that were used back then had heel caulks and toe caulks so they can fit in between these little crevices between the bricks or the cobblestones so they wouldn't slip on the hill. If they were barefoot, they would slip.
Interesting. How about that? Huh.
Well, and it just makes sense. I mean, you know, we've been shoeing horses for thousands of years. It you know, there's nothing natural about anything else people do. Just let's pull the shoes. So, fortunately... I do have a Mustang, which we were talking about earlier. It does not wear shoes, and I'm super excited to let that go as long as possible. But, you know, if they don't have good feet, they get eaten. So he's got generations of hard, tough-footed people. Now, my thoroughbred, my God, Steve, I can't even, you know, the farrier pulls the shoes off. You better slap those back on real quick, otherwise he's going to wear his feet down. So it just, I guess it goes with the horses, too, as far as what they're...
Two different horses. Yeah, two different horses.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, we did have a listener question that says, wanted to know, I guess she's a hunter rider, and her trainer says put on aluminum shoes to help him move a little flatter, I guess. Is that something that could help? Does the weight of the shoe affect how the horse moves?
Certainly, certainly. And some horses are more... likely to have a different effect on the gait with lighter or heavier shoes than other horses. So aluminum is a third the weight of steel, and for the same volume, you know, the same cross section of the shoe. So if you have a light boned horse and you want him to move, you know, low to the ground, like we call a daisy cutter, you know, or a quarter Western pleasure quarter horse that you don't want a lot of knee action, the lighter the shoe that you put on, the less weight he has to, you know, think of the foot as a pendulum, or the leg, I'm sorry. The leg is swinging. So the more weight you put on a pendulum, the more, you know, animation it will have. So as you lessen the weight, especially on a lighter bone, smaller foot horse, the effect will be more by going to aluminum shoe. And you still have a lot of material to support the horse properly. Whereas if you had a steel shoe that was the same cross-section, it would be add a lot of weight, which makes the arc of the flight of the foot more up and down. So going to aluminum for some horses, you know, flattens the gait, which is what some people desire in the show ring. Now, if you have a really large horse, like a warm blood, quite often they try to put aluminum on some of them, and they doesn't seem to change the gait. In fact, sometimes they're not as well supported with that type of shoe, and just fitting them up with a proper shoe, because if you have a warm blood that's like 1,300-1,400 pounds and a big foot, going to a much lighter shoe is not going to have that proportionate effect on such a big body. But again, all horses are individuals, and some may move a little lighter with aluminum, but you really see the effect on lighter bone, smaller horses.
Well, you know what? I got to tell you something. I love talking to you because I just realized as I'm listening to you, I was a hunter for 10, 15 years, and my horse always wore aluminum. And that's just what they put on all of them. And now I use steel. I never even realized that that's probably why they were doing that. I had a trainer that talked to the farrier, and that's what they did. So now I understand why. Still didn't win many blue ribbons, but that's okay. I still love them.
It's all about trying to be giving the horse a competitive edge in the show ring. So some horses will improve and move up in their class, and some won't. Typically, if you switch a horse in a barn over to aluminum, and the horse does well and wins a ribbon, then everybody in the barn wants you to do it.
I think that's what happened. It's like, I won with the aluminum. Everybody needs to do it, and that's probably why that happened. Now, does aluminum? First of all, do aluminum shoes cost the same, and do they last as long? A steel.
Aluminum shoes are more expensive because aluminum is more expensive than steel. It's not terribly more expensive, but it certainly is an additional cost, and they wear out quicker because it's softer. So you don't get a lot of use, a lot of hard use out of aluminum shoes. So again, it's something you put on because you're giving the horse a competitive edge. He's doing better with this type of shoeing for the purpose that you're using the horse.
Now, I have an aluminum shoe question, too. Can aluminum shoes be fitted with the various and sundry types of traction additions that a steel shoe can, or are you limited?
Yes, you're limited. You cannot weld borium or drill tech onto an aluminum shoe. But what you can do is you can drill and tap it and put the screw caulks in, or we also have these things called drive studs, which you drill a hole and you tap these little pins or drive studs into the aluminum, and aluminum will take that just fine. So if we shoe some of these horses, especially during the winter with aluminum, quite often we put some of these drive studs or little, permanent pins in them that are made out of tungsten carbide that give the horse a little bit of a grip on the ice.
And with an aluminum shoe, you cannot draw and fold down a caulk, can you? Or can you?
You could, but it would not be. It would not last very long.
You just wear it right off.
You're better off using, putting in some kind of drive stud. And they come in different sizes and shapes, and actually do pretty well that way.
Well, Steve, as always, this is just absolutely fascinating. I could talk to you forever. Unfortunately, we're kind of coming up against it. But Steve Krause, where can people go to learn more, or maybe if they have a question for you, somebody at Cornell can help them, where do they go?
Well, we do have a Facebook page, and it's called Cornell Farrier Program on Facebook, and they can contact me that way. They can also, if they're interested in coming to the Farrier School, they can reach me at sek78@cornell.edu, and we also have, if they search Cornell's website for the Farrier School in the Veterinary College, they can find information about the Farrier School there also.
I am officially a like on your page, so thank you so much, and you guys, again, if you want to get involved in the Farrier School, I couldn't recommend Steve anymore. My gosh, he's forgotten more about shoeing than any of us will ever know. So, Steve, thank you so much, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Okay. Maybe we'll see you next week.
Sounds good. We'll make it a date.
Thanks a lot, Steve. So, a warning, Jamie.
Uh-oh.
I was really curious about all those different kinds of things you can do with aluminum shoes. Do not Google dry stud.
Oh, my God. Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
No.
Bad idea.
Wow. I never would have thought of that. And I probably would have Googled that, actually, shortly during the song. So I won't do it. Thank you. Thank you for telling me that. Well, our dear friend Glenn has gone, I think he's gone back to bed. He's still sick. Even though I told him his voice sounded deep and raspy and sexy, Jennifer, because it was all, he's been coughing for days. So he's a little sick, so he's being a little bit of a baby, and so Jennifer and I are going to finish up here. We're going to play the
tea, so he has nothing to stop his coughing with, so there.
See, you're a good wife. You were trying to help him out.
He's his own worst enemy. So why don't we hear from Mill Creek Spreaders, one of our sponsors for the day, and then we're going to have a Stephanie Quayle song and one of my favorites, and then we're going to be back with Victoria Spicer real soon.
So you've been thinking about getting a manure spreader? Well, here's why I think you should consider Mill Creek. They've been in business for almost 30 years with continuously improved designs to meet the needs of horse owners like you. At Mill Creek, models are virtually maintenance and trouble-free thanks to their exclusive sealed bearings. They're the only compact spreaders you'll find like that. Mill Creek customer service is second to none. Call them and you'll reach a knowledgeable person in their own factory right in Pennsylvania. With 8 models available, they're happy to help you choose the right spreader for your budget and barn. 5 models can be pulled with ATV or garden tractors. If you'd rather have a PTO drive, they've got those too. At Mill Creek, spreaders have the lowest sides and tongue weight of any on the market. One of the biggest problems we always had with our spreaders is they just rust. Everything rusts out, and then you have to replace the metal, and it's just a pain. If you don't want to ever have to worry about your manure spreader rusting again, then consider the Mill Creek stainless steel line. They are the world's first and only compact manure spreaders built out of stainless steel, and they're warranted against rust through for life. Julie Goodnight, clinician and star of Horsemaster with Julie Goodnight on RFD TV, has owned and used the Mill Creek spreader every day for over 9 years. She knows they represent great value and quality and is proud to endorse them. So for the best compact manure spreading equipment you can buy, check out Mill Creek's lineup. Years of trouble-free operation will get you out of the barn faster and give you more time for your horses. Give them a call today at 800-311-1323 or visit their website at millcreekspreaders.com. The perfect holiday gift.
Sophia, can you live just for the day?
And that was Stephanie Quayle singing Sophia. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by you, our listeners. And Glenn has flown the coop. He couldn't stop coughing, and we really got sick of him, so we sent him away. And it's just Jamie and I.
It is. And so it's girls only for the rest of the time, okay? We played a girl song. We're going to talk to Victoria. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's all about the love here. So anyway. Well, I have an interesting news story for you, Jennifer. You're going to love this, and all of our strange and bizarre listeners are going to love it, too. you know how we recommend that you do fecal egg counts for your horses?
Yep.
You know, you send them to the vet, and they tell you basically, you know, what kind of deworming you need to really focus on, or do you need to skip it because we're having, you know, parasitic resistance. Well, there is a new way that you yourself can do a fecal egg count. And what is it?
Do I want to do that?
There's an app. There's an app for that, Jennifer. Check this out. An American firm has developed a smartphone app capable of providing a fecal egg count for horses. The Parasite, it's called Parasite, S-I-G-H-T. Para, P-A-R-A. I love that. Parasite system could one day replace the decades-old systems of getting fecal egg counts by manually counting numbers on a microscope slide. Apparently, with Parasite, you can collect fecal samples on-site, pass them through this filter system, which stains the eggs, and within 5 minutes, you can get a picture of the glowing eggs. Now, what it is, it's this, it looks like a little box. Like a little black box, and you lay your phone on top of it. It's got a little place for your phone, and you can just take a picture with it. And so you put this poop sample, I guess, in this little box. You put your phone on top of it, give it 5 minutes to glow, and then you take a picture. And apparently the app, the smartphone app, does the counting for you. It not only counts the eggs, but can differentiate between the different parasite eggs and provide individual counts for each kind.
Really?
That's ridiculous.
So you can tell your telephone to tell the difference between a strongyle egg and a roundworm egg, but it can't tell when I want to say horse and not house.
I know. And as a professional broadcaster, Siri should understand me a little bit more. But yes, this system, you don't even have to tell it what to count. It just does it for you. Put your phone in the little box, and it looks down on the poop, and then it goes, oh, you need to basically, this is this, and this is this, and this is this. So no more. See, I used to have to do the fecal egg samples when I was a vet tech here at Durango Equine, and it's awful. It's awful. You pretty much have to stand in a room with poops, you know, poop, and it's in a, like a baggie, and it's wet, and it's gross, and you have to put on a latex glove, and you have to grab the poop, and you have to put it in the centrifuge thing and spin it down, and you put poop water, sugar water in it, and it's so disgusting, and it stinks, and then you have to put your face over the microscope, which has poop in it. And so your nose is like 3 inches from the poop. So you don't think about that when you're not the one doing it. When you send your poop sample in, you should send a Christmas present to the vet tech who has to deal with it because it's disgusting. So
there you go.
Yeah. So there's your helpful veterinary technician tip. Your nose will be 3 inches from a poop sample. So at any rate,
yeah,
this
that's
really
that's
cool.
That's a very interesting technology. Huh. Wonder how much that sucker costs.
It's awesome. And I guess there's still, it's still kind of in the making here. They're still trying to figure out. I don't think it's available just yet, but here, let's see. Let's see what they say about that. But it's really
like the kind of thing that a clever veterinary practice would have too, because then the vet tech doesn't have to sit there and smell things. If you're a vet tech, buy this and use it at work.
I'm going to post the link of the article. I found it on Horse Talk. So I'll post the link on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page so you guys can see this. There's an app for poop. Believe it.
An app for that. Oh, my God.
Here we go. I'm posting it now. Talk amongst yourselves.
Talk amongst yourselves.
I don't know how you post and talk at the same time. I can't do it.
See, you know what the difference is? I can post and talk at the same time because I'm not saying anything funny or interesting. That makes a difference.
You know, it depends on who you ask as to what I say that's funny or interesting or, you know, abusive about getting on ponies.
Well, yeah.
So,
you got to watch that stuff.
I know. Well, we've also got a news story about a high school senior. Did you read this? Did you hear about this? A guy in California came up with this very romantic gesture to ask a girl to prom. Okay, he borrows a horse from a friend's ranch. This is in Milpitas, California. Milpitas. I don't know where that is, but it's in California. He borrowed a horse from a friend's ranch, saddled up, and rode down to his high school campus with a sign holding it up asking Catalina, to prom. The proposal was captured on cell phone cameras. Everybody was so excited about it. It was so sweet. The girl said yes. So this romantic gesture for this kid, it works. He rides in. It's like, you know, the knight on the white stallion riding in and saving the girl. Well, he asked the girl to prom, and she says yes. Unfortunately for him, he's now been suspended from high school. He's never been in trouble a day. But apparently, he got suspended because the principal said, and this is so lame, that somebody could have been hurt by the horse walking on campus. That's lame.
That's what's wrong with America today, right there.
Exactly. Ride your horse to school and ask a girl. So apparently the boy was disciplined for his actions due to the potential threat that riding a horse on campus presented to the other students who were walking in the same part of the area as the horse. The boy did not lose his prom and will be allowed to go to the dance, says deputy superintendent from the school district. Gonzalez, who had never been in trouble before at school, said that his only regret is not actually talking to the principal beforehand and getting permission, which he probably would have said no, so good for you. You got the girl, so
exactly.
Just move on. Yeah.
Any script writer in Hollywood would have written it that way. He would not have gone and asked the principal first because he would have said no.
Exactly. What is the saying? You ask for forgiveness, not permission. So you got suspended. Yep. It was totally worth it, in my opinion.
They're gonna get married in 2 years and, you know, they're going to have their own reality show.
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be a beautiful thing. Hey, before, you know, we're still waiting on Victoria, but I've got a crappy news story for you. Four veterinarians, and I think this ties into you, Jennifer. Four veterinarians, nothing salacious in your area, but four veterinarians are charged with unlawfully medicating horses at Penn National. Penn National is...
No!
Probably not the most reputable of tracks, really. My girlfriend, when I lived in Atlanta, she had an eventing barn, and she took off the track thoroughbreds, and they all came from Penn National. So Penn National Racetrack, four veterinarians have been charged a $200,000 fine each, and they could face up to 2 years of prison. The charges allege that the vets conspired with horses' trainers to falsify documents after administering drugs to racehorses within 24 hours of the races, which violates the ethics codes and the doping laws. And so in big trouble, basically. They're in big trouble. And I just, this just makes me so angry because horse racing, you know, it provides some of us with really unbelievable athletic horses after they're done with their career that are, you know, can be very well taken care of and all that. And then you get stuff like this where just these people are doing shady stuff to these horses, and it just gives the industry such a black mark, in my opinion.
Yeah, that whole falsifying records thing seems to get people in trouble. It's the Al Capone syndrome. When veterinarians do this kind of stuff and they finally prove it and they have evidence and they go, well, I didn't know, and they can claim ignorance, not much happens. But when they falsify the records and then they have proof like that, different story. And, you know, I'm sorry, don't be doing that. You're a veterinarian. Do no harm first. Hello.
Yeah. And now, well, how this ties into you is they've named all of the veterinarians, and you used to live in Pennsylvania. And is there a connection?
Two of the veterinarians named in the suit, which they have not been found guilty of yet, disclaimer, are veterinarians that we used when we lived in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Now,
did they
seem the Penn
shady?
National Racetrack is very near where we live, so that kind of makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
But hello.
Did they seem shady? Did they seem bad? Did they sell you drugs?
They were not shady, but and all of the bills that we got were correct. So at that time, we had no issues. Yeah, they didn't charge us for anything we didn't get.
All right. Well, yeah. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and bring her on. Victoria Spicer is here with us, and we're going to just bring her on. We haven't even screened the call yet because Glenn is gone and Jennifer's talking to me, so there's nobody to actually answer the call. So hi, Victoria.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Well, we're fantastic. Glenn is out sick. He hung up on us, and so we've been just chit-chatting. So how is everything in jolly old England?
Yeah, it's good. Spring is here. It's a nice day today, so all is well.
Is it raining? Because you said spring is here.
For once, it is not raining. It's a miracle.
Well, that's great. So what's going on Horse and Country TV?
Well, we've got – I don't know if you guys really go into this, but today is April Fool's Day when you spend all morning trying to trick people with silly stories, and most people saw straight through our one this year, I'm afraid, which was a story we made up about a new invention of horseshoes that has springs in the heels that when the horse jumps, it propels them up into the air so they can jump bigger fences than before.
Oh my gosh, and nobody bought it?
One person did, and I made up the designer of these shoes was a gymnast, a former champion gymnast. I don't know why I thought this was funny. And her name was Una Likely. And she did write on our Facebook page, "Who is this gymnast?" in capital letters. And I think they were a bit angry about her and her cavalier approach to equine equipment.
Yes, let me read from the article. When a horse jumps, his pastern flex to a greater degree to allow the horse to push himself up over the fence. Well, a microchip in this shoe detects the change in the pasterns, and the tiny springs then burst into action, sending the horse pinging upwards. These shoes are set to revolutionize the sport, says shoe designer and former champion gymnast Una Likely. I was inspired by my days as a gymnast when I'd use a springboard during the vaulting events, and I realized the design could really help horses reach new heights in the show jumping arena. I tried them out on my cob the other day, and I'm pretty sure we could have cleared a Poisson's wall if we tried. I can't believe nobody bought that.
I'm quite upset. I think it was possibly at the end when I had quotes from people saying it sounds like a total joke to me that perhaps I gave it away. But it is quite a hard skill coming up with an April Fool's story. And there's been some real hit and miss ones. Horse and Hound went for the very obvious Hugh Grant as guest editor, but thanks to that film Notting Hill, which is going to be forever associated with Horse and Hound. And I saw not a really funny one, actually, by Equestrian Trade News, which is the kind of trade newspaper. And they said that there was a study done that proved that little girls that had pink jumpers and pink numnas, there was a direct correlation between naughty behavior of their ponies. So I quite like that one. The prize for the stupidest one, I'm afraid, has to go to this horse sale site over here that said that they'd found a unicorn. I think the whole point in April Fool's is being able to just gently mislead people without just them thinking, what a load of rubbish. So, they did not win the April Fool's prize, I'm afraid.
Oh, my gosh, the Hugh Grant to guest edit Horse and Hound is awesome. Because my husband actually, we've seen that movie so many times, it's one of my favorites. My husband actually said to me, he was like, wait, that's a real magazine? Because I was like, oh, Horse and Hound posted this. He's like, that's real? There's a real magazine called Horse and Hound? I was like, yes, honey, Hugh Grant did not make that up.
I worked there for 3 years. It was my first job when I graduated from college, and I loved my time there. But it is literally the first question you get asked, does Hugh Grant work there, or then is it real, is the second one. And it's really funny at the moment because my very good friend Amy, who is the news editor over at Horse and Hound, and she's just had a promotion, which is very exciting, and so they're advertising for a deputy news editor, and they put it on Twitter, and Hugh Grant retweeted it. So yeah, I'm glad that Hollywood film stars have got a sense of humor.
Oh my gosh, Hugh Grant retweeted that they were like, oh, that's so funny. That is so funny. So basically, Hugh Grant follows Horse and Hound. I mean, why not? It's one of his best movies ever. Well, there was a website here, I think it was 2 years ago, that posted, Venting Nation, posted that Rolex had to be canceled because there was a massive amount of sinkholes on the cross-country course, and they wouldn't have time to fix all the sinkholes before Rolex. And sinkholes happen in Kentucky, so it's not that, you know, I mean, it's crazy, but it could happen, I guess. And apparently, Venting Nation got in really big trouble because the Rolex people were like, not okay that you're telling people this is canceled. So it kind of got itself in trouble. Now, I have a strict no April Fool's policy because when I worked in regular radio, they come up with these ridiculous, stupid things. And I think that a lot of the times they're harmful, more harmful than funny. But yours was not harmful at all because clearly it's not going to hurt anybody saying that there are spring-heeled shoes. We just had a farrier on it, too. I wish I would have known about that.
I did.
Are spring-heeled shoes a device to improve traction or are they a device to improve movement?
Yeah. They send the horse pinging into the air with an explosive force. So I was waiting for a few people to say that this is cruel. So at the end of my story, I said that one of the commenters said that they were worried that the horses might bounce right out of the arena, which I just thought was quite a funny mental image. But again, I mean, I've been quite careful with mine. The last couple of years, we did one about the dressage letters becoming alphabetized, and I did not only make it clear that that was a joke afterwards, but because a few people were tweeting our official body and saying, have you seen this? And then a couple of years ago, I did a story about empty stable tax, that if you had a stable that wasn't filled or wasn't filled for enough hours per day, you could become taxed on it. And that was to do with a government policy over here about empty bedrooms, and if you had like government funded housing and you had an extra bedroom that wasn't in use, you were going to get taxed on it, and there was a big outcry. And so a couple of people said we shouldn't be making jokes about such things. So nobody was complained this year. I've got away with it. I've done my April Fools, and I've tricked one person. So my work here is done.
Your work here is done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Well, hey, so now, speaking of Rolex, you guys have badminton coming up, and I guess you guys just wrote an article about predicting the winner?
Oh, yes, there's a really strong lineup this year, including 9 former winners. So
oh, my God, are you serious?
Not hard to predict. So the 9 are Sam Griffiths, who won last year, and then we have Paul Tapner, Andrew Hoy, Mark Todd, Jock Padgett, William Fox Pitt, Pippa Funnel, Oliver Tynan, and Mary King, who is on the wait list but is very likely to make the cut. It's quite remarkable to think that she might she might get waitlisted considering how successful she is.
That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing that she's on the waitlist. What, did she send her entry in a day late? I mean, what, how did they get waitlisted?
They do it on international points. And so Mary was spent some time on the sidelines last summer. She actually had a ban. Her horse, King's Temptress, had a injury, I think, a couple of years ago. So she's been off the circuit as well. And so that means that her points are lower, and that's why they weren't automatically qualified. I think she has 2 points, which is ridiculous considering the King's Temptress has jumped out around several 4-stars.
It's almost like they should roll over. Like, the points should still be there for, you know, their lifetime points, because that's insane that Mary King might not get in with King's Temptress. That's pretty funny. I didn't realize it was a point system, so that makes sense to why anybody would get waitlisted, because over here in my level of entries, if you get waitlisted, if you send your entry in, you know, like when I lived in Georgia and Kentucky, we had to send in our entry on opening day, because otherwise you'd get waitlisted.
We have a balloting system here for that, because it's getting ridiculous and it's early season at the moment, and we have events starting at 8 in the morning and finishing at 5 o'clock at night and running multiple sections. So there is quite a lot of balloting going on. It's just, it's not getting any less popular, that's for sure.
Well, that's fantastic for the sport, for sure. But keep us up to date on if Mary King gets in. We've got a wild tilt badminton. When does it happen? It's in May, right?
Yes, from the 6th to the 10th of May. So getting excited already and just hoping the weather's a bit better this year than it was last year.
Or the year before. I think they swam.
It got cancelled. It got cancelled in 2012, and because of the flooding. But actually, the following year, when they've made the course quite easy for 2012, because they didn't want to kind of, you know, cause any mishaps in the run up to the Olympics, and there was quite a lot of non-Olympic horses competing, so they made it quite easy on badminton terms. And then the following year, they had really fast dry grind, and everybody jumped clear within the time. So. Year ended up being the exact opposite, really tough weather and an extra tough course, and it just caused mayhem. So somewhere in between two would be good for this year.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to predict. Yeah. And now, before we let you go, there's something about an endurance race that it may be changing.
Yeah, it's a race called the Golden Horseshoe, which is one of the oldest endurance races in Britain. It's kind of like the founding race that people started doing, those that had eventers or hunters and wanted to do this long-distance ride across Exmoor, which is a very scenic part of northwest England. But now the organiser is retiring and they haven't found anyone to take it over yet. So there's a good chance that this 50th year anniversary of the race could be the last ever one. So that would be a real shame.
Oh, that's terrible, because I'm sure that is a pretty popular one. Gosh, it's just beautiful up in that area.
It is. It's stunning. But I guess there's so many more options now to ride around in different endurance races that people might not want to make the journey down to this corner of the UK to compete in it. And that's one of the other reasons that it's just not getting the same support that it used to.
Potential end of an era. Sad. 50 years. That's amazing. That's a lot. That's a lot of, these are 100-mile races. That's a lot of miles.
It is indeed, and I'd love to see some pictures of people competing in the original. I bet they dressed a bit differently to your modern endurance.
That's true. They were tougher. They were tougher. Yeah. They didn't have synthetic fabrics and all sorts of light saddles and all that. Absolutely. And well, tell us about, before we let you go, the video of the week, because Glenn is going to love this.
Well, and the latest episode of Ribboned Up, Jenny went to the National Shire Horse Show and reported on all these beautiful shire horses, and they had young stock classes and driving and in hand showing. And so check out the video. We've got a couple of clips up there on our website at the moment with all the lovely shire. So lots of feathers flying.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. They're just beautiful. Just beautiful. And now, there. What's the popularity of the shire? Is it kind of a breed that's going away? Because they're not super popular over here, but are they very popular as draft horses in England?
No, they're on the endangered list. I think they it's a breed that they want to preserve. And as well as shire horses, we also have Clydesdales, which is the Scottish version. And obviously, you guys have Clydesdales over there, but they did originate
right.
in my home country. And then we have like Suffolk Punchies and various other heavy horses. And I think there's a real group of people who are big supporters of the breed and do all they can to preserve the numbers. But of course, they're not in use in farming anymore. And I think it is a bit of an uphill struggle to keep their numbers and maintain the breed.
Okay, I'm watching this. And, obviously the feathers are impressive and massive. But this guy just trotted his horse by. And, every one of these shires is clipped except for this one. And, oh, my gosh, the hair coat on this thing. It looks like it could be standing outside in 10 feet of snow. Bless his little heart. Clip it.
Yeah,
exactly. Woolly mammoth comes to mind. Yeah.
I know. It looks like a woolly mammoth. So, yeah, check it out at horseandcountry.tv. Victoria, as always, it's been a pleasure having you on. Do you have any competitions coming up with your pony?
Not for a couple of weeks. I have a lesson this weekend, and then we're doing a fun round around Goodwood Park, which is being organised by the Retraining of Racehorses charity. So they're hoping to get 50 ex-racehorses to go around Goodwood, which is one of the best racecourses in Britain. So apparently we're going to get to explore the estate, but we're not getting to gallop down around the racecourse, which is probably for the
probably
best. So really.
Yeah, when you said race, I thought, is this a foot race or is this a horse race? And I'm assuming the latter there.
Goodwood, yes, Goodwood is a flat race course that runs during summer and it's beautiful. So very excited about getting it. And there's a big stately home and an estate and lots of nice fields to explore. So I don't have great riding, like trail riding, where I keep my horse. I'm very excited about this.
Oh, that'll be great. That'll be awesome. Well, Victoria, thank you so much. Horseandcountry.tv is where you can find all these stories and so many more. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend. Hope the fan is feeling better soon.
I know. Thank you. Yeah, I'll tell him. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Great. Cheers. Bye.
Bye. Awesome. Well, I think that's going to about do it for today. We're going to let Jennifer off the hook and go out there and make some more tea for her ailing husband.
I'm going to give him a sippy
thing.
Cup. Does it make sippy cups for
grown-ups? Yeah. You know what? I have a couple sippy cups you could borrow.
Yeah,
they don't,
you send them over my way.
Yeah, exactly. Anything to keep things from spilling. But somehow he'll figure out how to spill it. I would imagine Lucas does. So
I'm going to take a picture of his desk. Anytime you see a picture of Glenn's desk, it's staged like a home that's for sale. Sometimes I'm going to sneak in there and get a picture of it not staged, and you'll understand why things get spilled.
Yeah, I understand. I can imagine. Well, you guys, thank you so much for joining us, and I'll be back on Friday with a house full of in-laws.
Friday.
And woohoo!
Bye, phone.
Coming tomorrow.
Classic tomorrow, so you can enjoy it. Best of. Be prepared for class.
Bay, neuter, gals, let us know if you get a new pony. We want to hear all about it.